As you know, the theme for the English service for the month of August is focusing on the topic of singleness, right? So if you were here last Sunday, you'll remember that Pastor Ian, he preached from 1 Corinthians 7:25 to 35 about this very topic. And today, I'll also be preaching the same topic with two more supporting passages. If you look into a bulletin, you'll see that one is from Philippians 2, verse 3 to 4, and the other one is from Romans 12, verse 9 to 13. And I will use other verses or passages as well to preach this message. And again, this is a topical sermon, not an expository sermon. So I'll be drawing from different passages to really focus on this topic, right? It's not like what we used to do where we have given a text and now preach from there. It's kind of like the opposite, right? And today is also actually my last sermon here in the English service. And I'll be preaching one more time on September 22nd. So if you could come, it'd be great. And before I preach, I want to let you know that just how much joy has it been for me to stand here and to preach, you know, sermons after sermons over all these years. And if my calculation is correct, if you have been here on the very first day I arrived, you have heard more than 250 sermons from me. That's a lot of sermons. You know, I'm like, whoa, where did the time go? And I'm not saying this to brag as to, oh, this is how many sermons I preach. I'm saying this because I want to let you know just how you have shaped and molded me as a preacher in this area over all these years. And I have to tell you, I am a much, much better preacher, you know, than when I came 6.5 years ago. So to that, I want to tip my hat to you. I want to say thank you very much. I really appreciate that. But still, do make the time to come to the combined service on the 22nd. We'll start at 10. And it will be a time of celebration, really, right? And a time of celebration where we count the blessings and, you know, of God's faithfulness and His goodness, you know, of the time that we spent together over the last several years. So there goes my little appreciation, all right, as well as my invitation to you guys all. If you can make it, I would love to see you there. You know, I'd love to encourage you and send you a word of blessing, all right? So let's go back to our focus and topic today, right? So when it comes to the topic of singleness, I want to first say two things before we even read the text, right? I want to say two things first. And the first thing I want to say is this, is that if you are married, you have the blessings that singles do not have. But at the same time, if you're single, you have the blessings that married folks do not have, right? And I want to lay this out right off the bat because I don't want you to feel like, you know, singleness or married, you know, being married is better than the other way of life. They're both equally valid. They're both equally good. All right? I want to get that down to you guys first, right? Right? Both bring blessings that the others do not have. At the same time, based on the 1 Corinthians passage that we heard last Sunday, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was very clear that the blessing of singleness is the blessing of not having to constrain one's life so that you build around your life on another person so that you can devote yourself to Jesus. That's really what Paul was saying throughout that passage last Sunday, right? He said, if you're married, you must labor to please your spouse, whereas an unmarried person is concerned about the Lord's affair. So there is absolutely nothing wrong for being single. If you're married, God can use you to maximize His glory. If you're single, God can do that too, if not more, because you can focus on Jesus and doing His work, right? And for some of you, perhaps, you know, you still hope to get married someday, and that's great. Good for you, right? And, you know, for some others, you know, you feel like right now at this season in your life, you can go either way, right? You know, you're happy with the freedom that you have of being single at this season of your life, and that is great too, right? So while you have this gift of singleness, right, whether it's for life or whether it's for a season in your life, do consult with the Scriptures as to how to use that freedom to maximize God's glory, right? Because there are advantages of being married, and there are advantages of being single. All right, so I want to lay that down first, right? And the second thing I want to say is this, that when I look around at the kind of singleness that we see in the world today, the whole notion of devoting one's life for Jesus, that's usually the last thing on people's minds, Right? You know, the whole concept of I'm keeping myself from the entanglements of marriage in order to, you know, to be more committed and more devoted to Jesus. I mean, this notion is simply not dictating the change of culture right now. Statistics tell us that there is an increasing number of people in our culture today, both Christians and non-Christians alike, who are remaining single and for a lot longer, right? As a matter of fact, instead of seeing singleness as a gift, many people in the world today, they remain single because they're afraid of commitments, or they're afraid of relationships, or they're eager to stretch their wings and do their own things, you know? They don't want to be tied down by the whole concept of marriage. A lot of people think like that today, right? They want to travel, they want to see the world, you know, they want to do a lot of different things to bring them satisfactions. And maybe someday they will settle down with somebody, but maybe someday, but not now, you know, right? So there's a lot of independence that's happening out there, right? A lot of desires to fulfill, which has nothing to do with what Paul was saying when he said that singleness is about an increased devotion for Jesus. But I believe the scriptures is very clear of seeing singleness as a gift and a blessing. I mean, two of the greatest individuals who have ever trotted on this planet, who have made more impacts in the life of human history, Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul, guess what? They were both single. They're both single, right? So Christian singleness ought to be different from the singleness of this world standard. It must be countercultural so that we can maximize our, you know, God's glory in our lives. So having said all that, those are two things I want to lay out first before we even read the passage, right? Now I want to invite you to turn to the passage, you know, in the bulletin with me. Let's read them together. Romans 12, verse 9 to 13. Let's read it together. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Philippians 2, 3-4. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others. The word of the Lord. So let's now start with the word of prayer. Lord, I want to thank you so much for my brothers and sisters here at SFCC. You love them. You have bought them by your precious blood on the cross. And for that and that reason alone, we are forever, ever grateful. Now, as we tackle on the issue of singleness, would you make it plain to all of us, especially to those who are singles at this particular season in life, and how you want us to live so that we can maximize your glory. Speak through my mouth, O God, and change all of us from within. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, even though singleness is a gift and a blessing, which I said earlier, there are trials and struggles that are unique to being single. And for the rest of our time together, I want to take the opportunity to address some of the issues, you know, with the support from the scriptures and how we can go about tackling them, right? As you can see from the bulletin, the title of the sermon today is The Emotional Problems of Being Single. And I wouldn't use the word emotional. I didn't come up with that title. I would probably use the spiritual problems of being single. And again, this is not comprehensive as if these are the only issues that singles struggle with. But, you know, the things I'm about to list to you guys are the things that are commonly associated with singleness. And, you know, when I was single, like, I experienced all the things I'm about to talk about, right? So please understand that I'm not talking about this topic from a very objective point of view. I'm really speaking from experience, right? So with regard to, you know, to the issues that singles struggle with, let me first lay them out to you guys. There are three of them that I can think of right now. And then I will go back and attack or tackle each of them, right? One, loneliness. of a unique kind. Second, sexual desire, human sexuality. And that is, we're all wired to have sexual desires. And being a Christian single means you don't gratify that desire. And then third, social status or social typecasting. That sometimes being a single can be kind of like you have a negative vibe. You know, oh, you're single. You know, like, what's wrong with you, right? I want to address that a little bit as well. So three things: loneliness, sexuality, and social status or social typecasting. For the issue of loneliness, we all know that this is something that we all experienced, whether we're married or whether we're single, right? Listen to these words from Psalm 142, verse 4. I mean, so just like the things that we experienced. You know, the psalmist says, look at the right and see, there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. No one cares, right? Even the psalmist shared that, you know, very basic experience that we all experience in life. However, for singles, this could be something a little bit more intensified. I mean, we all know the feeling of going back to our home and not having someone to greet us. Going back to our house, having to struggle with our sicknesses when we get a cold ourselves. No one to address us or hug us when we go back home. Right? So, with this issue, I want to suggest two ways that we can tackle it. And the first is this. I would tackle this issue by knowing Jesus as my most precious friend. He will never let you down. He will never, ever, ever, ever let you down. He says, I will be with you until the very end of the age. A friend that sticks closer than a brother or sister. I mean, that would be my first choice of strategy of tackling loneliness. Get to know him and his word. Know him deeply. So that's the first thing. The second strategy of tackling loneliness is that I would go and be involved in a church community or fellowship and be a friend. All right? Not so much about, oh, how can I get friends? How can I get friends? But go to a community and become a friend to somebody else. Because if you go into a community, all you think about is, how can I get friends? How can I get people to notice me? Then you'll be operating out of a need. A kind of selfish need. And that's really, a lot of times, not that healthy, right? And don't get me wrong, we all need friends, right? But I believe it is much healthier if you go into a group and say, hey, I'm here to be a friend to you. I'm going to be a friend in this community, in this fellowship, in this Bible study, right? And this is where the two passages that you just read from Philippians in Romans 12 can really help us. I mean, look at the verses with me. I mean, the words with me again. You will see that both passages are focused on relationships. They teach you how to be other-focused than self-focused. I mean, listen to the words. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Right? Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. I am here to be a friend. I'm not here to fulfill my own needs. I'm here to fulfill yours. That's a way healthier way to address loneliness. Now, here's a side note that I want to kind of give you guys, you know, when we talk about forming friendships or like male bonding, female bonding, that kind of thing. You see, there's a difference between how guys, they bond and how women, you know, bond, right? You know, for guys, you know, the vision that I have for guys, you know, male bonding is more like brotherhood, you know, kind of bonding, right? Shoulder to shoulder, you know, like sword in hand, common enemy. Ah, come on, let's attack it, right? And then after that, you're like, hey, I kind of like you, you know. That's how male bonding, you know, comes about, right? And you know, so whether it's a common enemy, or common vision, or common focus, you know, that's something that just naturally happens, right? And it can be really powerful when two guys bonded like that. Now, for women, I think you guys do that too, okay? But it's a little bit different for you guys, right? I think for women, how women bond is that you guys evidently have the capacity to sit at a table, you know, with a cup of tea and just talk for hours doing relationships. And then when you try to put two guys doing that together, usually it doesn't work, right? For girls, you guys do that, and you guys do that naturally, do it really well, right? So there's a difference between how men bond and how women bond in relationships. But my point is this, that when it comes to tackling loneliness, first, make Jesus as your most precious friend. And then second, have that mentality of becoming a friend in the church community. And I hope that you do find that here at SFCC. I know a lot of you have already found that. So bravo, keep up the good work. Keep on bonding and keep on being a friend to other people in this community. So that's a part about loneliness I want to kind of address. Let's move on to the next issue of singles that they often face, and that's the issue of sexuality. Right? Now, for many, sexual life must be one of the greatest challenges of being single. And it's different between men and a woman. But it's not only the men who struggle with their sexual drive, right? I mean, statistically, there are a lot of women looking at internet pornography nowadays. And sometimes it begins with curiosity. You know, sometimes it begins with, you know, like, man, they're talking about this so much, you know, what's going on there, right? And then it becomes even more, for there's different kinds, evidently. And the relational issue for women, you know, about being fantasized, you know, being swept off of their feet, you know, carried into some meadow or wherever, right? I mean, it's different, but it's real at the same time. So I don't want to presume that when I talk about sexuality, it's only for the men, right? It's for everybody, okay? But when it comes to strategies of ways to tackle this area, I would start by the same way that I said about loneliness. Get to know Jesus deeply. Know his beauty. Know his patience. Know his grace. Know his love and forgiveness. Know how you're saved. Know what's heaven. Know what heaven is like. Know what hell is like. Know how you're being justified. Get to know him. Know his word. And know him deeply. That would be the first thing I would do when it comes to sexuality. And the second thing I want to say about this area is really this, is I would say like this. Get it in your head and settle it. Get it in your head and settle it. That sexual immorality, any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage is a sin. Just get it. Get it in your head. Why? Because the world is going to tell you otherwise. Big time. You know, just give you an example. In the early mid-90s-ish, there was an international Christian group called True Love Waits, right? And what the ministry did, you know, is that they were promoting sexual abstinence outside of marriage for teenagers and college students. And it was a really great ministry, you know, for advocating biblical understanding of sexuality and purity. So there were numerous events and programs and youth rallies, you know, that were teenagers or college students like me back then would go and sign like pledge cards. You know, we would buy those like, you know, purity bands, you know, so that we would wait and, you know, save ourselves from marriage. I mean, it's a great ministry, right? You know, I really benefited, you know, from that. But of course, this was against the values of the world. So when this campaign was started, there were a lot of attacks from secular media. And they were all over, out there, firing their artilleries, right? They were saying things like, hey, sexual abstinence for the sake of marriage is like denying my right as a human being. They would say things like that, right? They would say, you think I'm going to restrain this area of my life, my humanness, just because I don't have a ring on my finger or a piece of paper? You are denying my humanness. I'm a human being. Those are the kind of things that they would say. Now, that's a pretty powerful statement. That's pretty powerful, right? Denying humanness. But there is one problem. Jesus was the most beautiful, glorious, complete human ever was. And he lived his whole life without ever having sexual intercourse with anybody. And he died without ever having it. And his father looked at him and he said, this is my son whom I am well pleased. So get it in your head. Flee. You know the Bible. Flee from sexual immorality. Just settle it and get it in your head. Here's a third thing I want to say about tackling the area of sexuality. And that is to take yourself outside of your introspective, lonely self, where all the fantasies are seething in, and to get out of yourself into God's greatness. I know it's kind of wordy. Let me say that again, and I'll explain, right? Take you outside of your introspective, lonely self, and get out of yourself for God's greatness. And this can be a lot of things. It can be people. It can be science. It can be arts. It can be music. It can be church or volunteer services. There are a lot of things that are great, that are beautiful outside of your own little introspective self. I mean, the idle mind is the devil's workshop, right? I mean, who does not know, what it feels like to stay and be stuck in the house, and we start to think and think and think, and when the sexual desires become all too consuming, and then we fall into temptations, and then we masturbate, and then after we're like, man, my soul feels rotten. It doesn't have to be like that. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When you want to see God that badly, when you get glimpses of His glory, it will give you the power to stay pure. So moving up and out of yourself into God's greatness. Go outside. Enjoy the weather. Enjoy nature. Go to the zoo. Wherever. Just enjoy. Don't stay at home the whole time if you're single. Just go outside. Okay? So that's the second part I want to talk about. Here comes the last area, at least for my list. Social typecasting. Right? Social typecasting. And a lot of times, again, if you're single, you have this negative vibe. You know, people, especially if you're single for a long time, if you're single into your 30s or 40s, people are like, hey, what's wrong with you? Right? And there are two things I want to say about this. The first thing is this. Become a healthy, other people-oriented person that does not dwell on your, singleness. Let me say that again. Become a healthy, other people-oriented individual that doesn't dwell on your own singleness. You see, people like that, they're very self-assured. And you won't sense any kind of self-pity when they're like that. Right? That's a healthy image which will benefit themselves as well as those around them. One of the Christian counselors I had in college group, like 10 plus years ago, was single, who joyfully embraced her singleness. She was already in her 40s when I met her. Right? Darlene, I still remember. I think she's still single right now. Right? One of the most mature believers I've ever met in my life. Right? If you met her, you will not sense any ounce of self-pity in her. She was so joyful. She was always caring for others. She was always thinking about, hey, what's going on in your life? Like, how are you? How can I pray for you? Right? Just an absolute joy to be around with. So become a healthy, other people-oriented individual who does not dwell in your singleness. So that's the first thing I would say. The second thing I want to say is a little bit more deep. Namely, let God define you. Let God define you. Let God say to you, I love you. I love your singleness. Let Him say to you that I love you as you are. I'm here for you. Right? Don't let other people in this world define who you are. Singleness is a good thing as long as you have it. And here are some of the key passages in the Bible that I often use, just to remind myself. Examples. For I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. Memorize that. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans 8:1. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. 2 Corinthians 5:17. I mean, get those words. Soak yourself in the Bible. He loves you. And how would you know that? Unless you go and dig yourself into the scriptures. Don't let other people define who you are. So as we come to a close, the bottom line is this. Singleness is a gift as long as you have it, right? It is a season for some people, and for some others, it could be a lifetime, right? But if you're single today, and you have, you know, and then you, if you're single today, you know what? You have a tremendous opportunity to maximize God's glory in your life. Don't waste it. It's a good thing to be single. But do it in the scriptural way. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you that you love us so much that you die on the cross for us. And Lord, I want to pray, I want to thank you for all of us who are here today. We need to hear these words, whether we're single or we're married, to know that you love us and you're for us, that you have a great plan in our lives. And Lord, I want to pray especially for those who are single. You'll continue to give them strength so that they will live their life different, set apart from this world, and to see you as the most precious, all-satisfying treasure that you are. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Why don't we all stand and respond to that with a song? Before we get into the song, I'm going to break this one down.